This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Good. Please, go one more time. How's it going? There we go. Some energy. Okay, you got all your cheering out during baptisms. That's good. My name is Harmon. I'm one of the pastors here at Journey Church, and I'm excited to join you 2 weeks in a row. I must be doing something right. The Lord has blessed me to preach two times. No, thanks, Jess. We're in our series called Receipts, and if you've been here over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the tough questions, the questions that we all have about God, about faith. And Pastor Jess, the first 2 weeks, talked about the reliability of the Bible and also the resurrection of Jesus, okay? So is the Bible reliable? We believe so. And there's a claim in the Bible that Jesus came back from the dead. Okay, now we're not talking like his heart slowed down for, 5 minutes on the table and then all of a sudden it started speeding up again. No. He was dead and gone for 3 days inside of a tomb. They buried him. They wrapped his body, left him in there thinking it's over. And then 3 days later, Easter Sunday, God resurrects him. It's a crazy claim. And we believe it to be true because of the eyewitnesses and the truth that's revealed through Jesus and his life. And then last week, I was able to touch on, do all paths lead to God? There's a lot of different faiths out there, and they say a lot of different things. But what we came to realize is that they are superficially the same, but fundamentally, these faiths are different. And what makes Christianity different is that we are trying to build a ladder and reach up to God. That's what every faith is trying to do. But Christianity says you can't fix yourself. Quit trying. And God reaches down and he saves us by sending us a savior. And today I get to talk about another difficult question. And that is, if God is good, why do bad things happen? Why is there evil and suffering? And I know what you're thinking. Classic Harmon, Debbie Downer, party pooper. It's baptism Sunday. Why are you talking about evil and suffering? Like, come on, man. But this is the topic that was slotted for this week. And, I actually love that it's on Baptism Sunday, because isn't that life? Like, you're walking life and there's good things happening and there's good times happening. But there's also difficulty and struggle that happens. When you go to work, you might talk to someone who's celebrating. They just had a baby and it's their birthday or whatever reason. Then you talk to somebody else and they just say, I just lost somebody. I'm struggling. I'm going through a hard time. And so every day we face this kind of dichotomy of good things and bad things. That's just life. Life is complicated and tangled. So is this Sunday. And so we're going to talk about evil and suffering and why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? And, if you've grown up in church, I didn't grow up in church, but when I started coming to church, okay, when the preachers used to get up and preach, they would do this thing. They would have these like three-button suits, okay? And I'm glad that we've moved on from that era. I do like to get dressed up, but not every Sunday, okay? That's just hard, okay? I don't own that many suits, okay? I came from a poorer neighborhood. It's okay. I had one suit that I wore literally every single event for like 7 years. Like the pant was like coming up to my knees, and I was like, Mom, I need a new suit. Anyways, sorry, that went down a weird rabbit trail. But they would get up and they would say something. They would say, God is good. And all the time. All right, you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys have been in church. Okay, you've been in church, right? But they would say, God is good. And all the time. Question. Have you ever doubted the goodness of God? Maybe you've experienced something unfair or painful, losing a job. Maybe you're looking up to God and going, God, why did my parents get divorced? Or maybe you face some betrayal. You had a spouse leave you. Or maybe you had a loss of a loved one. Maybe you had like ongoing struggles in your health. Maybe you suffer from migraines or depression. Or maybe you looked up to God and God, like, why am I tempted constantly? Or maybe you look out into the world and you look at what's happening in our world, and you're saying, God, why is there starvation? Why are there wars? Why are people dying? Why are the innocent suffering? And then there's personal moments of disappointments, right? Like, God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm going to church. I'm reading the Bible like Pastor Jess told me to do. I'm giving. I'm trying to be a good person. But why is this happening to me? Why is there hardship in my life? And so, God, where are you when the children are starving? God, where are you when there's war-torn countries? And today's message is for those who have ever questioned God's goodness. You know, why did God let it happen? It's a question we all ask. And so I want to just start with prayer because I believe that God's going to do something today. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit and you'd begin a work in our hearts, especially for those who are questioning, struggling, or hurting. God, I pray that you would show us your goodness, even amidst our pain and disappointment. And so, God, I pray right now that you'd help us see your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. See, this is not a question that is a new question. It actually was asked long, long ago, actually 300 years before Jesus. We meet a Greek philosopher named Epicurus, and he asked this question. He actually had two statements and then a question. And he said this, if God is unable to prevent evil, then he is not all-powerful. Second statement was, if God is not willing to prevent evil, then he is not all good. And it led him to this question. If God is both willing and able to prevent evil, then why does evil exist? And what I want to say to you today, and my main point, is that evil and suffering are not contrary to the Bible. They are actually central to its story. See, Christianity makes sense of, gives meaning to, and offers a solution for the evil and suffering that we experience. It's not that there's no reason for it. No, it gives purpose to it. And you know, you can look at the Bible, and I remember this was the first Bible I ever received, and I started reading it, and then I got it rebound, which is very expensive and lucrative, okay? So if you're looking for a business idea, I got you, but you got to hook me up with free rebounding of Bibles. But I got it rebounded in leather, and it's really, really nice. But when you look at this, right, this book is split into two halves, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus, that's the New Testament when Jesus shows up on the earth, and everything before that is the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there is a couple guys, and you can kind of relate to them a bit. You know, the first one I think of is Jeremiah. You know, he's known as the weeping prophet. You know, he was grieved over the unrepentant people. God, why won't they turn to you? You know, you can remember Jeremiah saying that. You know, we also hear of David, and David is a man after God's own heart. That's how he's described, a man after God's own heart. And yet he cried out, are you listening, God? Do you even care? In the New Testament, you know, if you flip over there, we get introduced to John the Baptist. And this is a guy whose sole purpose was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. You know, he used to say that I'm not even worthy of untying his sandals when he was talking about Jesus. I'm not even worthy of that. And he says, I just want to bring forth the word that he's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And John the Baptist, whose whole life and ministry was devoted to the Lord Jesus, he's wrongly arrested and he awaits potential execution. And when Jesus could have come and delivered him, instead, Jesus did not. And John was beheaded. And so surely he sat in that prison cell wondering, God, when are you going to get me out? When are you going to rescue me? He devoted his life for preparing the way of Jesus. But he's wrongly imprisoned and he's beheaded. And so you're wondering, where in the world are you, God? You know, and this last one, Asaph. Has anyone ever heard of Asaph? Some of you maybe know him. All right, he's a psalmist. Actually, 12 of the psalms are attributed to him from the book of Psalms. And Asaph is a prophet. And he says this in Psalm 73, verse 11. He says, what does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at all these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. And he says to God, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. And if you couldn't emphasize it anymore, he says this, every morning brings me pain. It's a sad outlook. right? But he's sitting there going, God, I'm looking all around me and there's all these people who seem to be getting ahead and they're cheating, they're wicked. And their wealth keeps growing and growing and growing. And I look around at this poverty and these people who need you. Where are you, God? Where are you? So he struggled seeing wicked people prosper while questioning, does God even know what's happening? You know, and he goes, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Is there any reason I'm trying so hard to be good and do good and do all the things that you want me to do, God? And so the challenge today is that we're wrestling with some weighty questions, right? These are some big, heavy questions. And I want to tell you, I don't have answers for all of them, all right? Some of these questions are difficult, and we're going to look at them. But God can handle our doubts. God can handle our questions. And so when we look at this issue of why do bad things happen to good people, or why are there bad things in the world? Why is there evil and suffering? The first answer that we get is free will. You know, and free will is simply the ability to choose, okay? In other words, if you have the ability to choose love, you also have the ability to choose hate. If you have the ability to choose what's right and the ability to choose what's wrong, then the onus is on you. And that's what makes evil and suffering possible. It's because we have free will. Because, and here's the reason, is that the only way that love is possible is if there's free will, if there's choice. See, he didn't give us the ability to choose and then say, actually, no, I want you just to love me. I'm gonna force you. No. Why did God do this? Why did he give us a free will? And the answer is, it's because he didn't want a rock or a robot. Right? He wanted us to have a relationship. And if you want a real relationship, choice matters. And so the core idea here is that love is a choice. And if love is a choice, then that means suffering is possible. Now, you know this, right? We all kind of know this. Like I remember my first crush ever, okay? And this is that crush that you think about, chocolate cake. No, I'm just kidding. That's not it. No, I remember I was in junior high, and there was this girl, Kelsey, and I loved her. I'm just going to be honest. I was in love. From the moment I saw her, I disappointed my mom. I said, Mom, I'm into white girls. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, I know you've tried to arrange me with a brown girl. It's just not going to happen. And Kelsey, she's amazing. And this is the person that you reroute your way to class for this person, right? Like, you've got science class in the basement, right? And they've got, like, English class upstairs, and your locker is in the basement, but somehow, in between classes, you somehow make your way upstairs, and you're just, like, close to their locker, hoping they, like, walk by. Would anyone else do that? Just me? Okay. And you just hope you run into them in the hallways, right? You're just like, I hope I get to see them. And we know this reality, right? There's love. But there's also a little bit of pain. And so when I asked her out, would you be my girlfriend? And she goes, no. And I go, okay, never mind. And you walk away with your heart in your hand, crushed, your soul torn. Right? Love and pain kind of go together. Right? And this is why free will matters. See, without choice, there is no true love. If I tried to force that on her, she would think I'm really weird. Right? And this is where sin enters the world. See, through free will, it leads to pain and suffering. And the challenge in this is that in order for us to have freedom to choose love, we also have to have the freedom to choose evil. We choose what the Bible calls sin. And what does sin do? See, unfortunately, sin leads to pain and suffering. And so for God to remove all evil and suffering, he's got two options. He has to either remove our freedom to choose and force everyone to do good, or he has to remove us, the ones with choice. And so a question that most people don't ask, but people should ask this question, is that if there's no God, then who decides that there's evil? If there is no God, who's going to decide what's right and what's wrong? Because it's not humans. Let me get, like, look at any society in the world, right? We can look at the world right now and even see that our collective sin has broken the world, has it not? You know, I think of somewhere like Nazi Germany, where they thought they were doing right. They thought they were doing right. No, you are really wrong. I look at the Rwandan genocide, right? People who thought they were doing right, they're really doing wrong. And so when it's left up to our hands, we don't make the right choices. Our collective sin has broken the world. That's why our world is so torn apart and broken. And so if we're honest and then we have integrity as we look at this issue, we cannot use the presence of evil and suffering as proof that God doesn't exist. It doesn't make sense. In reality, the fact that we do believe in evil and suffering is more proof that God does exist. You know, and I remember this like, you know, if you have, how many of you have siblings here? Can I see some hands? Okay, how many love your siblings? Okay, some hands went down. That was weird. Well, you can deal with that on your own, okay? But we love our siblings, right? But there's also, you know, there's some tension sometimes, right? And I remember growing up, my sister, she's just a year younger than me. And for some reason, she was always stronger, all right? She always used to bully me. She's younger than me. And I was like a little skinny kid, and she just overpowered me, okay? And even to this day, she's probably stronger than me. I'm just going to be honest. I don't hit the gym enough. But we would fight. And there was no rules in my house, like, growing up that, like, you know, guys can't hit girls or anything like that. Like, we were full-on fist fighting. And she would hit me first, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I never hit her first. Sometimes I did. But, like, we would be biting each other. We'd be biting each other. We'd be pulling each other's hair. Like, I remember one time we were, like, rolling around. Like it was like a movie, like, rolling around and, like, slapping and punching. Like, it was violent, okay? Just is violent. But she touched my toys, and I told her not to. Anyways. And so, you know, imagine this with me, right? You have a sibling, you fight with them, and I'm sure you guys all have stories like this. And imagine there's a moment in the fight, right? When one of us says, I'm going to go tell mom, right? And then a race begins. And you go, you're not going to tell mom. I'm going to tell mom. And we just both start racing down to find mom. Now imagine we race downstairs and there's no parent. Imagine we get there and there's no authority. That it's just us. It's kind of how our world would look without God. See, without an authority figure, it's hard to discern who's in the right and who's in the wrong. That's what we relied on my mom for. And in this world, the same is true. That without God, it is difficult to understand what is right and what is wrong. And so there's lots of examples of, you know, pain and struggle. You know, I think of a couple years ago, I got a surgery on my face. Not the one that you're thinking of, okay? Anyways. I had a nose surgery, okay? And it was because I had a deviated septum, okay? And so my wife can attest to this. I was the worst snorer, okay? Like when we got married and she found out that this is what it was, the experience of sleeping in bed with me, she was like, I'm done. I'm out. This is not, we cannot, there's something demonic in your body, Armin. I don't know what it is. You snore way too loud. She actually noticed that I would actually stop breathing and I actually had like sleep apnea because of this nose issue. And it was probably sometime when I was a wrestler, we like, you know, or my nose got, something happened to my nose, an injury, and there's a deviated septum. And so this surgeon who I don't think he hated me, but after my surgery, my nose was just like brutal, okay? Like it looked like I got hit by like a train. Like I had like stuff packed in my nose. There's blood everywhere. And like I walked out of that place going, what did they do to me? Because it felt like in my nose that they took like a chisel and were just hammering my nose. That's what it felt like. And I think they did actually. But it was wild, right? But the surgeon, what he was doing was he was saying, hey, there's going to be some temporary pain for some long-term healing. Right? The surgeon didn't hate me. You know, he gave me a vision that there was something better on the way. There was something better that was coming. You know, and I experienced this also when I go to see a chiropractor. You know, they like twist you up into a pretzel and they go, just breathe, just breathe. I'm like, I'm breathing. This hurts too much. Right? And what they're doing is they're trying to restore something, restore your muscle, restore your movement. Right? And they're saying something better is coming. Just breathe. You know, and I think of this when I discipline my kids, right? I discipline my kids out of love. You know, we don't discipline our kids because we hate them. No, you know, we want them to grow up doing the right things, loving the right things, and not turning to evil things, right? And so we discipline them. We give them a timeout. You know, my son's arguing with me right now, and I don't like timeouts, Dad. And I said, well, that sucks. That's just the reality, right? Timeout. No, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He listens always, actually too much sometimes. But the truth is that the presence of pain doesn't mean a lack of love. Let me say that again. The presence of pain does not mean a lack of love. Often it's the evidence of real love. And so this leads us to our question today. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a good question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever wondered that? Why does someone who didn't do anything wrong have something so bad and so tragic happen in their life? And this is a difficult question to answer. Because you're not going to like what I'm going to say. But whenever we ask this question, why do bad things happen to good people, right? It's actually the wrong question. And see, the reason is that we have to understand what Scripture tells us. And it actually tells us that we're not good people. We're not good people. And you might say, well, Harmon, I have a good heart. You know, I have a good heart. I might have done some things that were wrong, but I have a good heart. Well, the Bible says otherwise. So the Bible says that I have a bad heart. That I have a heart that leads me to do some bad things at times. That I've hurt people. And I've done some sinful things. I've said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And that comes from having the wrong kind of heart. The truth is that every single one of us have sinned. And we fall short of the standard that God has put before us. And there's not a single one of us in this place that is actually good. If you really think about it. In fact, there was only one person who ever lived that was truly good. Who is it? Jesus is the right answer here. Jesus. And so Jesus, the Son of God, he was the only one that was good. And so why do bad things happen to good people? Truthfully, something bad only happened to someone good one time. And Jesus volunteered for it. The innocent one, who never did anything wrong, took on the punishment of our sin. He is the only one who is good. And what did God do for us? See, God suffered for us. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. He surrendered the glory of heaven and was born into poverty. Jesus, he was mocked as a bastard child born to an unwed mom. That's what they were saying about him. Jesus was rejected by those closest to him. His family and friends abandoned him. He was falsely accused when he did nothing wrong. He was wrongly imprisoned. Jesus, the only one who was good, was beaten, tortured, stripped naked, hung shamefully on a cross. And the worst of all is that the one who was good, the Lamb of God, became sin for us. The innocent one took on the sins of the world to die on it so that we could be forgiven. See, Jesus did this for us. And in doing so, what did Jesus do? See, he was separated from the Father because he had become sin on our behalf. And after a lifetime of perfect intimacy with the Father, Jesus was separated from that intimacy. And he cried out the same question that maybe you've cried out in your pain and in your suffering. In Matthew 27, 46, he says this. He says, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Where did you go? Why does it feel like you've left me? God, why have you forsaken me? I didn't do anything wrong, God. I served you faithfully. I've been obedient in every single way. I've loved you and lived for you. My God, why? And Jesus did that for us, for the world. He did that for you. And he felt more pain than we'll ever feel. And God the Father watched his innocent son suffer. See, in that moment at the cross, there's difficulty. And listen, I'm not saying that Jesus is, that we shouldn't deal with our stuff because Jesus had it way worse. That's not what I'm trying to say. Like, there's some hard things that you might walk through. You know, I think of my cousin. I've told you guys about him before. 19 years old, 6 months younger than me, shot and killed here in Calgary in the Northeast. In that moment, I'm sitting there going, God, why? What's the purpose of this? Why is this happening? You know, in 2020, my other cousin who lived about two doors down from me, Binda, 30 years old, three beautiful kids the same age as mine, just dies in his sleep, heart attack. Leaves three kids. And so I'm sitting there with them, and they're calling me dad. And I go, baby, I'm not your dad. I'm not your dad. They were so young that they see me as their dad. Because I look like him. And so there's days that are difficult and hard. When we were pastoring in Edmonton, you know, we knew a couple who their daughter passed away. Tragic car crash. And in that moment, what do you say? You know, as a pastor, I ask myself, what do I do in that moment? I cry, I pray, I mourn. I mourn with them. But I don't have an answer for why. And so why does God allow that? Why would God allow suffering? And I can't answer that directly for every single one of you in every single situation. Why are you going through what you're going through? Why doesn't God do what he could do in your situation? Why did someone do that to you when God could have stopped it? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know what the answer is not. The answer is not that God doesn't love you, because Scripture is ridiculously clear when it comes to the love of God. John 3:16, which we looked at last week and we'll look at it again today, says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God took our suffering seriously. So seriously that he allowed his Son to suffer because of it. And it's because he knew that something better was coming. See, it takes a death to have a resurrection. You know, we celebrated these baptisms. That's what it is. It's a death to the old and resurrection of the new life through Jesus. And so I believe that God can bring good even out of the bad, even out of the darkest, most heinous situations. God can bring good. And then there's this eternal promise. Revelation 21:4 says this. It says that for God, can we go to the next slide, please? Revelation, we don't have it, it's all good, I got it. He will wipe every tear. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain. That's a future promise. The book of Revelation is talking about a future time where God is going to wipe every tear. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. But right now we're living in the in-between. We're living in the not there yet. We're still here. So I just want to take a moment and just say, I know your pain is real. I know your grief is real. I know you have questions about the why. Recognize that we're living in the not there yet. The reason our world is so broken is because of our collective sin. Right? Just look at the world. It is a broken place. I think we all realize that. We all know that. And God has a plan for it. God has a plan to see it restored through Jesus. You know, over the last 15 years, I've walked with Jesus. It's not a lifetime, but I feel like it's long enough of a time where I have come to know the faithfulness and goodness of Jesus. You know, we're going to go back to Asaph's example in Psalm 73, verse 16. You know, and this is the guy who is saying, you know, what does God know? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying their life of ease and their riches. God, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day. Every morning brings me pain. And then in Psalm 73, verse 16, Asaph says this, "When I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply." He's saying, when I looked out at the world, when I looked out at the suffering, and it troubled me deeply. I couldn't make sense of it. That's probably where many of us are today. But in verse 17, he says this, "Till I entered the sanctuary of God." See, something you don't know about Asaph is he was like the main worship leader in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, right? If he was at Journey Church today, he'd be wearing skinny jeans and a gold necklace, and he'd be, just kidding. 2 weeks in a row, man. 2 weeks in a row. He was the worship leader, right? And the worship leader is questioning, what does God know? I get nothing but trouble all day. Every morning brings me pain. Then he says, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Verse 26, he continues, he says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And so in his struggle, he says this, "And my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength. He's my portion forever. It troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God." And so I came today to tell somebody that the problem of evil and suffering is not contrary to the story of the Bible. It is central to the story of the Bible. And more than anything else, Christianity makes sense of, and it gives meaning to, and it offers a solution for the evil and the suffering that we experience. God is not up there with his eyes closed, sleeping. No, there is purpose. We're just in the not there yet portion. And so for those of you who are suffering right now and you're hurting, what I want you to know is that God hurts with you. And what may feel like the worst thing in your life, and it may be the worst thing that you experience, that there could come a day, maybe it's weeks, months, years later, where you look back at that worst thing and you say that I wouldn't want anyone else to go through it. I wouldn't want to even go through it myself, but I did experience the presence of God through it. That I was able to enter the sanctuary of God and he was there for me. He walked with me in my hurt. Just remember, you're living in the not there yet, but it's coming. The good news is by the grace and the power and the glory and the goodness of God, something better is coming. Something better is coming. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And all the time, we have to remind our hearts of that. Every day, God is good. All the time, he is good. Every day, I want the goodness of God to be the thing that I focus on, that I center on, that he's there in the suffering, that he's there in the pain. And so, I have a prayer I want to pray over you. And just right now, maybe you could close your eyes and just bow your heads. For those of you who are hurting right now, and it's hard to make sense of what's happening in the world and in your life, I want to pray God's peace, His healing, His provision, His restoration. I ask that God's presence would be felt in your life in the midst of your pain. And I can't even imagine all the things that you're going through. But there's a God who's there, who understands, who walks with you, who wants to know you. And I want to invite those who don't know God. Maybe you're in this place for the first time and you're saying, listen, I don't got all the answers and my life is not perfect, but I know this Jesus is somebody that I want to walk with, that I want to say yes to Jesus. And so in a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to be bold and courageous. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand if that's you, if you're saying, listen, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want Him in my life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and every eye is going to be closed. Every head is going to be bowed. But just between us, if that's you in this place, on the count of three, one, two, three, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making a way for me. Jesus, I give you my life. You can have it all. My wins, my losses, all of my sins. Take them. Make me new. Take my heart. Make it yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate those who've joined God's family today? God is good. And all the time. There is no other name where you can find salvation. There's no other name that takes dead things and brings them to life. It's a beautiful exchange. We're going to sing about it in a moment. And then Pastor Chris is going to come up and close. But why don't you stand up? I'm going to invite our prayer team forward right now. Prayer team, come on up. Man, we don't want a Sunday to go by where you are not prayed for. Because there's something about letting someone else in on the struggles and the difficulties that you're walking through. And so whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you, I want to encourage you to come up and get prayed for. As the band plays, God can move. When we pray, He listens. He's a God who answers. So I want to encourage you to come on up and be prayed for.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.